As our friend Mr. Chapman is unable to be with us, Mr. Hadley has kindly agreed to take his place. May the Lord be with him and with us. Let us commence with hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. Hymn 987.
Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the book of the Ecclesiastes, and we'll read chapter 7. The book of the Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defence, and money is a defence, but excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. May the Lord grant to us each his blessing upon that portion of his holy word. And may he now help us to pray. O Lord, thou most holy and gracious God, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast permitted us to come to these thine earthly courts this night, seeking a portion for the good of our souls. Lord, we thank thee for peace and safety and the freedom to come and gather around thy word, for thy word is true. Lord, we would immediately remember one who should have been here this evening, but for a pending operation as having to isolate. Lord, we do commend our dear friend Alf Chapman to thee. Lord, may his operation at the end of next week be completely successful, that he can see more clearly through that eye which is affected by the cataract. And Lord, may the success of the operation be as good as I have experienced in recent weeks. O Lord, we commend him to thee. May he know thy good hand of love and mercy upon him. And Lord, still use him for the furtherance of thy gospel in the hearts of many sinners. Made the meaning, the hearing of many of thy voice. So, Lord, remember him where he is this evening, in his home, and grant thy presence with him. We pray, Lord, for others in their homes. Those, Lord, who cannot be here with us in the courts of thy house this night. Lord, thou knowest every reason. Thou knowest those who are sick, those who have been caught up in the threat and the infection of the COVID virus. O Lord, we do pray that the symptoms be mild, and that they will soon pass. And Lord, that thou wilt take away the threatening virus from our land and from the world. O Lord, is it not thy chastening hand, thy judgment on account of all our sin? O Lord, humble us underneath thy mighty hand. Lord, bring us humbly and keep us humbly at thy feet. Shield us, Lord, from its power. And Lord, do grant the supply of our needs. O Lord, in these things, may we prove thy good hand of love and mercy toward us. Be with others, Lord, who may be in a sickness, in other illnesses and infirmities. Those, Lord, that look after the children, the little ones. Those who may be detained by business. Lord, thou knowest each one. Lord, do remember them for good and hear and answer their prayers. Be with others, Lord, who may listen in to the services here in the courts of thy house. Lord, do grant amongst us all the unity of thy Spirit, and give us each the bond of thy peace. Lord, do not let thy word fall to the ground. Oh, but grant its application to every needy soul. Lord, thou knowest how we have come this night. Thou knowest our hearts through and through. Oh, Lord, thou knowest those who are bereaved of a loved one. Lord, one who was laid to her eternal rest earlier this week. Lord, we commend her dear husband, now a widower, to thee and all the family. The children, the grandchildren. Oh, Lord, do comfort them in their sorrow and sadness, in the loss of a wife and mother and grandmother. And, Lord, we do pray, oh, thou wilt visit each aching heart with the warmth and tenderness of thy love. O Lord, may thy compassions be new every morning, and great thy faithfulness. Help, Lord, in the days that are to come and have come and are yet to come. Lord, do uphold each one in their goings, still looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of their faith, proving thee a God of all comfort, and a Father of all mercies. Remember, Lord, the bereaved church here. O Lord, and where thou hast taken one of thine, as a shock of corn fully ripe, to her eternal rest in glory. Lord, do raise up others. O, in her room, in her stead, in her place here, in this church. Lord, maintain a people for thy praise. Lord, remember the young people. Lord, growing up in these evil days. Oh, Lord, do keep them from enticement and temptations and the strength of the philosophy of evil man. Lord, keep them fast to thyself, fast to thy word. Fast, Lord, to thy people. O Lord, do hold them and keep them. Lord, having drawn them into thy way that is everlasting. And Lord, do bless their souls with the knowledge of thy redeeming love. And Lord, may thy love constrain, oh, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Oh Lord, there's much to hinder the praise and honour and glory of thy name in thy great goodness of thy work. Satan is a mighty foe, but Lord, we pray thou wilt deliver from all doubts and fears, and Lord, bring forth that which is to thy honour and to thy glory. We do pray, Lord, thy blessing upon the preached word. O Lord, may it ever testify under the influence of thy Spirit, the truth as it is in Jesus for needy sinners. Lord, we are all sinners. O, do make us needy sinners. Lord, needy of thy grace, needy of thy mercy, needy of thy love, needy of the blotting out of all our transgressions, Lord, needing of thy Spirit and grace to love thee freely. O Lord, we look to thee for all that we have need of. We are not worthy, Lord, of the least of thy mercies, yet, Lord, we need it all. Oh, look down, Lord, from the heights of thy glory this night. Lord, and visit us with thy salvation. Lord, be present in our midst. Fulfill, Lord, oh, that sweet promise that fell from the Saviour's lips, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So, Lord, may we know thee here tonight. For without thee, Lord, we can do nothing to the honour and glory of thy name, or to know anything for the good of our souls. O Lord, do come, and may the words that I speak, Lord, be in the power of thy Spirit, not left to myself. But may the words of my lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, remember us each in our daily pathways. Lord, thou knowest the way each one of us take. Lord, thou very diverse. But, O Lord, we pray thou wilt bring us and keep us into the narrow way, which is faith in that shed blood of Jesus Christ. May all things, Lord, which come upon us daily, keep us in that way, sanctified to the good of our soul. Lord, may we know thee going before us. May we be able, Lord, to testify that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And may we dwell in the house of thee, the Lord, forever. So, Lord, grant us thy blessings. Lead us forth by the right way, that in due time we come to that city of habitation. Lord, that place eternal in the heavens. Lord, not made with hands, but a place prepared, or of thee, and accessed through faith in that shed blood of Jesus Christ, led by thy Spirit unto eternal life. Lord, hear the prayer of each one that pleads this before thee. Oh, to be one of thy children, one of thy sheep, one of thy beloved, one who can say, oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we may be called the sons of God. We do pray, Lord, for those with specific matters upon them. Lord, be with those of older age and their weakness. Lord, we do pray thou wilt draw near, grant help to them day by day. We pray for those, Lord, who have troubles and difficulties of one form or another, Lord, maybe of themselves or in the families, in the business, in the neighbourhood. O Lord, and the sins of our nation, oh, how we sigh and cry for those abominations that are now done in the land. Lord, do appear. Do hear each cry that is put up to thee. Remember the children. Lord, may they be the lambs of thy fold. Help parents, Lord, in bringing up their children. And, O Lord, we do pray thy blessing to rest upon the teachings from thy holy word. Lord, remember any that are expecting children. O Lord, watch over them. Lord, that they are kept healthy and strong. And children to be born, Lord, to be formed fully in body and mind. To be born safely at the appointed time. Lord, the gift of thee to those, Lord, that have prayed for that child. And the child to be one of thine. Lord, hear the prayers of those who pray for children. Lord, oh, do hear their cry. Now let us hear the cry of Hannah after so many years. We read of those, Lord, who did not expect. Even Elizabeth. Oh, Sarah, Lord, there are those impossible with man, but possible with thee. Lord, all things are possible with thee. Lord, in all our matters, all those things which seem to be against us, Lord, thou art able to turn them for good. So, Lord, hear the prayers, those humble prayers, the prayers of faith, knowing, believing thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Lord, may it be so amongst us tonight. Oh, do open up thy holy word of truth. Lord, do come, grant a portion for each of our souls. We would pray, Lord, for others who are bereaved of their loved ones. Lord, thy servant, Mr. Norman Rowe, buried this day. Lord, the loss of a pastor to the two churches at Osset and Birkenhead. Lord, the loss to the dear family. Oh, Lord, we do pray for them there. Thou wilt supply, Lord, the gospel yet to be proclaimed. And, Lord, may it not fall to the ground. Lord, may there be go forth in its power. And, Lord, pour out thy spirit from on high to build up those churches in their low state. Lord, we do pray for all our churches in our low state. Pour out thy spirit from on high. Lord, may we be able, oh, to know the truth of thy faithful word. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Lord, may this be the portion of thy people here. Lord, do bless thy word, bless each heart, bless each soul. Lord, pour out those showers of blessing, that there may be not room enough to contain it. Hear us then, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. Forgive every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 989. Ye captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found, the sun shall make you free. Hymn 989.
Thank you.
complete difference, in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, and He Himself to speak through the truth of His holy word. Bless your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in the book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. This fourth verse of the seventh chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Dear friends, the preacher Solomon makes a great distinction between wisdom and foolishness. He speaks much of the solemn state of the fool. We read, don't we, that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Therefore, God is not in all his thoughts. And we read, there's no fear of God before his eyes. The fool lives after the influence of his own heart, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And he lives in ignorance of it. He seeks alone for the riches and the grandeur of this earth, of this world. His heart within him only desires more and more of those things, saying within him, give, give. He does his utmost to satisfy his pride, seeking great things for himself. And dear friends, when those things do not come to pass, when things perhaps set the fool back, then all dreadful anger rises in his heart, because he does not have his own way. We read, didn't we, in this chapter, anger lieth in the bosom of fools. With those who know wisdom, as Solomon outlines wisdom here in the Word of God, dear friends, the wise seek unto God. They desire their soul's salvation. They know what they are within themselves. They fear God, lest they should be cast into outer darkness, into that lake of fire. Their desire is to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, we ask the question, well, what makes the difference Poor soul of Adam's race are born in sin, all the same in iniquity, dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, following the course of this world, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, yes, walking in the ways of nature's darkness. And then he comes to these two words, but God, who is rich in mercy. Dear friends, the only difference between the fool and one who is wise is the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God. Dear friends, that's what changes the heart. The grace of God, sovereignly revealed in the heart. Read, don't we, of Noah? In that wicked world before the flood. In his nature no different to all those who went about eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But we read Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And dear friends, it was through that grace that he was changed. He walked with God. He became a righteous man. When we think of Lot dwelling amongst the sinners of Sodom, dear friends, he couldn't separate himself from them, could he? Even though he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. When God sent that time of his judgment upon that city, he only escaped by the grace of God. And dear friends, that's the same today. It's the same with you and it's the same with me. We shall only find a hope of eternal life through the grace of God imparted to us by the Holy Ghost. There's a word which has been very much with me just of late, which we read in Psalm 65. Blessed is the man. And dear friends, where we have man in a general sense in the scriptures, it includes both male and female, the woman who was made out of man. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now that's the grace of God. For no one deserves, do they, in their sinful nature, to receive of the grace of God. It's not merited. It's purely of the sovereign love, the sovereign mercy of God to a sinful person, to a sinful people. Blessed are they whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. So, dear friends, that's the effect of grace, isn't it? One is caused to approach unto God. And dear friends, how does one approach unto God? No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to bear the sins of many. Dear friends, one can only approach unto God through Christ as a guilty sinner. There is no other way. And dear friends, it's by the grace of God, a sinner dead in trespasses and in sins is quickened, made alive to realise their state and condition. And they're compelled, they're drawn to the throne of grace, to the footstool of his mercy, there to plead for forgiveness, mourning over their sin. Dear friends, that's how one comes under the influence of the grace of God. They mourn over what they are in their nature. They mourn over sin. Dear friends, we think, don't we, of the parable that the Lord Jesus spoke, the distinction between the prayer of the Pharisee and the prayer of the publican. The prayer of the Pharisee was in thanksgiving to God, because he was one who he considered good and upright and acceptable in the sight of God. Friend, there was no mourning and sorrow and sadness in his heart, was there? He was even thankful he was not as that publican. Now that publican, dear friends, he was one of those whom God had chosen and had caused to approach unto him. He came to see whatever means that was, we are not told, but he was caused to see his nature, his sin, his separation by it from a holy God. He had no hope of eternal life. Oh, he was probably, was most likely a Jew and probably kept to the Jewish traditions. But there was nothing there to satisfy. He was compelled, wasn't he? He was caused to approach unto God. And he came into the temple at that time as the time of the Pharisee. Now, dear friends, that temple was a glorious building. It was built by Herod, took 30 years to build. It was one of great grandeur and capacity and height and size. And many wondered at it. But, dear friends, to this publican, it was a house of mourning. It was a place where he'd been drawn, where he had come, with the heavy burden of his sin upon his heart that caused him to cry out in his mourning state, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, he wouldn't have been like that at the house of feasting, would he? He would have had no sense of his lost condition. He'd have been content with the money which he earned and took perhaps deceitfully at the seat of custom, to spend it on some form perhaps of riotous living, and gone on his way outwardly rejoicing. But dear friends, his end would not be everlasting peace, would it? If we'd have been cast out when that day came. Oh, how solemn the words of God to that rich farmer when he said, oh, he'd got goods laid up for many years. I will eat, drink, and be merry. He would use that what he'd got, oh, for his feasting. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. And who shall those things be then, oh, that he had? He would leave them all behind forevermore, never see them again, and only dwell forevermore in that dreadful place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That publican, mourning over his sin, came to the temple, would not so much lift up his eyes to heaven. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, that house of mourning became a blessed place, didn't it? For the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Dear friends, he was made wise unto salvation. He was taught by the Holy Spirit. He was drawn by the Spirit under the sense of his sin. And he had to cry for that mercy. Compelled. Constrained. And blessed. He went down to his house. Justified. Oh, the third verse says sorrow. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. By the sadness of the countenance. Dear friends, what a sadness this publican was in as he came in guilty. Not so able to lift up his eyes to heaven. But as he poured out his heart, mourning over that sin. Dear friends, his heart was made better. He went down to his house justified. The Lord heard his prayer. The Lord lifted up from him that burden of his sin. Oh, dear friends, haven't we just sung about delivered from the captivity of sin? Well, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. You know, dear friends, when we come to the word of God or to the courts of the Lord's house. Dear friends, is it a time of mourning? Mourning over our sins and after Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, what a mercy. There's the work of the Spirit of grace. And of supplications that puts that prayer within us. It was put in the prayer of the publican, wasn't it? The Spirit of grace and of those supplications, they combine together. And the scripture says one shall look upon him, Jesus, whom they have pierced. They have pierced. Our sins have pierced him through and through. Pierced him as he bore the sins, our sins upon his soul, which he poured out unto death. Dear friends, you may have heard me say, I think I said it last night at Clifton. You know, when we mourn because there's love. We've perhaps read in the newspapers just recently of that dreadful murder in London where that policeman deceived that young woman and having dealt with her dreadfully then killed her. Dear friends, we've got sympathy with that family, haven't we? But dear friends, that family mourned over the loss of their dear loved one. And you know what it is, I'm sure, what it is to mourn, many of you, over a loved one. Well, dear friends, where one is taught by the Spirit of our sinful nature and what it has cost the Lord of life and glory, where the Lord has revealed in us a sense of that pardoning love. Whenever we come to the word of God, whenever we hear the testimony of Jesus Christ, dear friends, it'll cause us to mourn over what we have cost the dear Jesus, the Son of God, who laid down his life, a sacrifice for our sin. I once read of an account of a man who got in his car on the drive and reversing it off, he hadn't noticed his little boy, 2 years old, at the back of the car had come and went right over him, killed him Oh, the sorrow of that father for his only son, whom he had killed, he had slain. Dear friend, we can only imagine perhaps the depth of that mourning. But dear friends, this is the sense. Under the influence of the Spirit of our guilt, when he grants it to us. But dear friends, the Lord does not leave us there, does he? The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But dear friends, in that house of mourning, is also the time of blessing. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Dear friends, they are not blessed on account of them mourning. First of all, they are mourning on account that they are blessed. They are blessed with the knowledge of their sin. They are blessed with that they are guilty sinners. They are blessed with the knowledge that there's only one way to be delivered from their sin, and that's faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And dear friends, the scripture says they shall be comforted. Those who mourn over their sins and after Christ. Those who have a sense of his pardoning love, and they love him because he hath first loved them, and he's the one who gives the comfort. All this was done for you. Oh, that voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. Dear friends, it isn't heard, is it, in the house of mirth? In the house of mirth there may be a great lot of noise, a great lot of loud music, a great lot of singing and dancing and frivolities or whatever may go on. Dear friends, there's no blessing spiritually to the soul, is there? One might have a happiness and an enjoyment in the house of mirth, but how quickly it will pass away afterwards. But dear friends, where one's in that house of mourning, and one hears that voice of love and mercy to the comfort of their soul, their pardon sealed, their peace with God, dear friends, that is everlasting. My peace, says Jesus, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, not as these of the house of mirth know. He gives that which is for the eternal life of your soul. That good hope of eternal life through his grace. And dear friends, one is lost, isn't it, in wonder, love and praise. Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? Who would forever lie in hell were not salvation free. And dear friends, the why me, why me? Oh, it brings us humbly, doesn't it, to his feet. To give him all the glory, nothing of self. Everything we possess of that hope of eternal life is found in and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, dear friends, what a precious gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, what a witness. What a witness is found through those who have mourned over their sin and after Christ and received the blessing. Well, dear friends, we heard of a witness here earlier this week, didn't we? of one whom the Lord so led in those ways. And he never left her nor forsook her. It doesn't mean to say, dear friends, everything is going to be smooth and easy, does it? Oh, verse 2 is very similar, isn't it? It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Dear friends, it's good to come to the house of mourning, where one of the children of God has come to the end of their earthly time through his sovereign will, and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's better to go to that place than the house of feasting, when one considers nothing about one's last days. One does not consider one's latter end. One is only taken up with the immediate joys and whatever's going on at that time. But in the house of mourning, one considers, yes, there is an end. And one day that end will be my end. And dear friends, it causes us to lay it to heart. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. And dear friends, the living will lay it to his heart. Oh, those evidences. Are they clear? We've mourned over our sin. We found, oh, some sweetness in the precious gospel. The truth as it is in Jesus, it's touched our hearts. He's given us that desire to cleave to him. Yea, it's been, as it were, we've been caused to approach unto him. And we lay to our hearts to know him and learn of him more and more. Isn't that the truth we find in that verse of Psalm 65? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy house, in thy court, sorry. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. What is the goodness of the house of God? Dear friends, it's this precious scripture, this precious Bible. It's this precious preaching of the gospel. Satisfied. Oh, through the truth as it is in Jesus, there's all your hope. There's all your stay. There's the anchor of your soul. There's your all and in all. Oh, Jesus Christ, the truth of that sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. All that sin is within you, blotted out as a thick cloud. There again and again, as you receive, oh, of the sound of this truth by the Holy Spirit, you don't go empty away, do you? You feed upon it. It strengthens your soul. Yes, as Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they hunger and thirst after righteousness, because that's the only thing that's going to keep them and maintain them in the right way. Their sins pardoned in the shed blood of Christ, and they made righteousness of God through him. Oh, dear friends, these are blessed characters, aren't they? They're made wise unto salvation. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Dear friends, whilst we continue here until that day of our calling from time to eternity, we can experience and expect many things that trouble us, tribulations, things that go wrong, things that seem so difficult. Maybe like Jacob, we say all these things are against me. What did we read in this chapter? Who can make straight those things which God hath made crooked? Dear friends, they're crooked to us. They're not crooked to God. He leads forth in the right way. His people are kept in the straight and the narrow way. But oh, that way may seem so crooked and awkward to us. And not as our own wishes and our own mind, which we've still got that heart within us, haven't we? There's still that desire for our own way and our own self. Oh, what a battleground goes on within us between the ways of self and the ways of God. And many things become crooked as we have to handle many things that arise in our lives. But dear friends, those which are crooked to us, they're straight paths in the way of God for his people. Oh, he can make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. There's teaching in these crooked things, isn't there? There's teaching in these tribulations. They cause a sinner, don't they, to approach unto him again and again and again. Oh, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, to pour out your heart before him again. Confessing your sin to obtain his mercy and grace to help you in the time of need. Dear friends, this is the narrow way, isn't it? Complete dependence upon God. Did we not read here concerning those that fear God? Oh, they will be brought safely through to the end of time. To a blessed eternity. What is it to fear God? Well, dear friends, the simplest description I could say is this. We read that Moses feared God. That Moses prayed at Mount Sinai, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Fearing that he would be left on his own, fearing he would fall away or into the influence of sin around him and the sin of his own heart. The fear of God, his presence at all times, in our lives, in every aspect of them, upon our soul, his pardoning love. Oh, those blessings are so sweet. Oh, it's of the Lord's mercies, isn't it? We're not consumed. His compassions to fail not. New every morning, great is his faithfulness. Dear friends, that's what a sinner comes to know. That the shed blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. We don't get beyond our mourning, do we? Oh, in spite of his goodness and his mercies and his pardoning love, we still find we sin day by day. We still find our thoughts, our words and our deeds dishonour him. Dear friends, how they quench, as it were, the spirit. When our own hearts well up, demanding our own thoughts and ways to be adhered to. What a mercy we read, he knoweth the way we take. He knoweth the way. When he hath tried us, that means when he's refined us. Dear friends, in those ways which we go ourselves, he will not let us go. He'll make it, as it were, to burn as a fire, to soften our hearts, that we again confess that impurity within us. And then he removes it again. And after that trial and that temptation and to that which we've fallen, we come out of it better than we went in. Oh, didn't we read here the end of a matter? It is better than the beginning. This is how the Lord sanctifies our pathway. We come out of it having grown in his grace and the knowledge of his love, a greater experience. We've just sung a hymn concerning captivity. Ye captive souls in fetters bound. Dear friends, is that how you feel your sinfulness? As we mourn continually over what we are in and of our flesh, we are captive to it, aren't we? We are bound, as it were, by it. We cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin within us. We cannot escape all the evilness of our inward heart. But dear friends, let me put this word of comfort to you, you that know your captivity. When Judah was taken into captivity to Babylon, Jeremiah wrote to those who'd been taken into captivity. There was Daniel, there was Shadrach, there was Meshach, there was Abednego, there was many others. The letter, the word of God came to those who were in their captivity. I know my thoughts, which I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end, deliverance. Dear friends, what about those who never came into that captivity? Dear friends, they perished by the sword, the famine and the pestilence. Dear friends, that captivity of your soul in the knowledge of sin is given of God. It's to keep you from utter destruction, to keep you dependent upon him, to keep you as a mourner over your sin and after Christ, desiring that mercy. And there's the promise. I know my thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Dear friends, what is that expected end? Dear friends, to us, in this day, it's eternal life, isn't it? I go, says Jesus, to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself. Dear friends, this is a voice and love and mercy which is heard in the house of mourning, not in the house of feasting. Oh, then may the Lord keep us in the good and the right way, ruling our hearts by his Spirit. Oh, you young people, you'll have many temptations to go in the broad way and keep you in the broad way. Oh, there'll be many temptations to go to the houses of feasting. They're multitudinous, aren't they? Do pray to be kept. And God forbid, dear friends, that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. To be kept. To be drawn. Oh, as it says, as I've had said twice or three times already, constrained. Forced to approach unto God as a guilty sinner. Pour out your heart before him, telling him all the truth, and to receive his blessing. Well, may this lot be yours. May this lot be each one of ours. Oh, Daniel, in that captivity, he was very faithful, wasn't he, to the things of God. And God said to him, go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the days, a place prepared in eternity for the Lord's people. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Amen.
Come on. Quilling, Mr. Austin is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Tim Parrish on next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 837. Repent, awakened souls, repent. Hear the good tidings God has sent, of sinners saved and sins forgiven, and beggars raised to reign in heaven. Hymn 837.
Thank you.
Lord, do be with us as we separate, but not, Lord, to separate from thee. Keep us, Lord, close to thy riven side, dependent upon that shed blood for the forgiveness of every one of our sins. Keep us, Lord, in the narrow way, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. So, Lord, cause us ever to be near unto thee, casting upon thee all of our care, knowing thou doth care for us and will carry us through all things of our earthly life, and through the shed blood of Christ be presented faultless before the Father's throne. Lord, may this lot be ours, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.